All right, it is time for another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast, ladies and gentlemen. But before we get to our guest, I have something exciting to tell you. If you love listening to the Crypto 101 podcast, you're getting two episodes a week. You're hearing about crypto experts and learn about their companies and projects. Well, guess what? Now you have the opportunity to hear from 47 of the top crypto experts for a full jam-packed 3 days, where they will discuss what they believe to be the best crypto opportunities for the year. And it's all happening during our digital currency summit. Okay. It's a virtual event. It's hosted by Pizza Mind, AKA Aaron Malone, and myself. And guess what? Your ticket to attend is totally free. So to reserve your free ticket, just go to digitalcurrencysummit.com. And click the link and go sign up. It's all done there. And you got to do it now because you don't want to miss out on this event. And we really can't wait to see you there. Again, it's digitalcurrencysummit.com. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. I'm your host, Bryce. I'm not joined by my co-host, your guys' your favorite host of the duo, Mr. Aaron Pizza Mind Malone. He is deep in crypto conferences right now. That guy is just about everywhere. If you look at this guy's calendar, it's just meeting after meeting after meeting with a bunch of hot new DeFi projects. And now Pizza Mind's getting really into the metaverse and GameFi. So while he's over there, I'm back here in San Diego and we're dividing and conquering because I've got a real professional, a real absolute killer in the GameFi, in the metaverse space. I'm joined by Will Dean, who is the founder of Rainmaker. So Will, welcome to the Crypto 101 podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, we're you know, over here at Crypto 101, a lot of our roots were in originally like Bitcoin, right? Just Bitcoin as this decentralized form of money. We thought it was the coolest thing. And just like, wow, basically having a system of money and payment outside of just, you know, centralized control. That was, you know, the first iteration of blockchain. Then Ethereum came out and we started getting really hyped up about DeFi and all these opportunities to not just have, you know, a Bitcoin that you could send back and forth with nobody who could tell you what to do, but you could have, you know, more complex. You could have escrow, you could have borrow, lend, all that kind of stuff. Cool. Okay. Boom. Now we're on 3.0 kind of is what it's feeling like. And this is where I see Rainmaker come in, this new metaverse. So what's going on here? Where are we?
Yeah. I mean, I think that you have to look at what happened in the middle of 2020 when Axie Infinity came out, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of crypto skeptics didn't think there was real utility around crypto, right? It was kind of like, okay, faster transactions, really cool. You know, what's the utility? How does the public get involved? In 2020, Axie Infinity came out and you saw retail users or end users that didn't understand blockchain playing games that could then cash out for fiat. And so that changed everything. I think that also introduced how NFTs brought utility, right? There was a scarcity thing, you know, with like CryptoPunks and NFTs and OpenSea came out. But truly, when there was utility on top of blockchain, things started to spark. And so you saw fast forward when Axie Infinity started blowing up, you saw I think March of 2021, when the crash started to happen, Axie leveled up. It actually started going up when everything else was going down. And that's because it made real money. There were real transactions on it. So I think that's what entered us into kind of this metaverse Web 3.0 conversation. And that's kind of where Rainmaker Games comes in.
So was Rainmaker, tell us a little bit about your background and the team's background. Were you guys, you know, a game company that has been in business for a while and then pivoted to like Web 3? Or are you guys, you know, brand new, hot out of the gate?
Yeah, for sure. I'll give you some of my background. So I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. I've sold two companies before. I actually sold my last company about 7 months ago. Oddly enough, I had some call centers over in the Philippines. long time ago. And so I still had a really great network over there. And a friend of mine who lives over there said, hey, man, you got to check out this game, Axie Infinity. And so I've always been in blockchain since, I think, 2015, really since 2017. And so I checked out the game. I said, wow, this is amazing. I don't know if you've seen the documentary on Axie Infinity, but that really kind of drove it home for me.
I have not yet, but I'm going to Google it right now. So I don't.
Oh, yeah, it. Man. It's about 15 minutes. It's killer. I think it does a really good job portraying what Axie has done for underdeveloped countries. And
I heard people were making like $2,000 a month off this game at one point.
I mean, you could say at the very beginning, not at the very beginning, but when it started getting hot, 2 to 3 times the daily earnings for someone in a developing country, that's massive, right? That's a socioeconomic change. And so obviously the earnings aren't the same anymore as they were back then. And there is, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of games popping up. But I think that really sparked everything. And so for us, we started as what's called a gaming guild, where we help people who can't buy the NFTs, almost like a lending and then managing and helping them level up and get better. We quickly realized that the future of this space was not in gaming guilds. We saw like the inefficiencies of how it was to pay players, and there was no like tool sets to kind of manage players. And so we said, okay, we see all this happening on one side, but on the other side, we see all these new games popping up. How are they going to get players? How are players going to be able to afford to get into these games? How is this going to evolve? And so what Rainmaker's been working on since I think October. Yeah, October was really, really when we started to drill down on this was we're building a platform to connect gamers to blockchain games. So if you're familiar with Steam or any other of those platforms, we think that the future of gaming in the blockchain space is that a player can play one game and then go to another game. Right now, very archaic, right? Like if you play Splinterlands or Alien Worlds or Axie Infinity or whatever game it is, if you don't have the financial means to play in another game, you have to sell all of your assets and then swap out your currency to literally go to a different wallet to play another game. And so that's a big problem, especially when the earning amount goes down. And so we're trying to almost Netflix-esque keep everybody in one platform so they can move from game to game. And then also allow a platform for players who can't afford to get in games to come to a place to be able to learn and level up and then get access to these NFTs.
Epic. I used to be a big gamer, RuneScape, then Guild Wars, then World of Warcraft. But you know, back, you know, when I was in middle school, and I remember, you know, I was getting out of the RuneScape phase and I was moving up to the Guild War phase. But I still had this account that was really valuable, had all this money and, you know, equipment and everything. So in Guild Wars, you know, what people would do is, you know, you would get in your guild, you'd like build trust with people and they'd say, hey, I'll buy your RuneScape sword or I'll buy your RuneScape account and I'll give you gold in this new Guild Wars world. And so you'd always do these like cross world trades, but you know, one time I remember like, you know, building this online trust with this guy or whatever, and he just completely scammed me. Right. He was like, all right, you give me your, you know, your password, I'll go take this, and, you know, done it a bunch of times and it worked. But, you know, that one time that I just got cleaned out and it was just like, oh shit. All right. Well, there's that. And so I think that having a blockchain based system where we could have an auction house or we could have transferable assets between all these different games. And, you know, you could kind of go in through this portal. I think that's super cool. And it just limits so much risk, makes the experience better. And it also creates an economy, like a real economy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the things that's funny, our team consists of guys from Meta, from Google, from Amazon, and really like the team and the engineering staff is world-class. And so what was funny with when my CTO came on board, he's also world-class at product. He said, getting into a game is probably one of the hardest things he's done, right? You have to go to Coinbase or Binance. You have to convert, you know, a dollar to Ethereum. You have to send that Ethereum to this other wallet, to this other address. You have to swap it for in-game tokens. It's this whole process.
Right. It's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. So if we're trying to get adoption or trying to make things easier, we want to be the platform that allows people to be able to just get right in, right? Maybe not maybe not first being the on-ramp from, you know, a money standpoint, but being able to access these games and swap your assets across games, maybe not interoperability. That's a whole nother beast, but being able to stay in one platform and say, hey, look, you know, I made $1,000 in this game, but I want to play this game now. How do I move that money from here to here? Is there like an easy way to swap? Oh, hey, I have all these assets or these NFTs in this game. Can I borrow against the value of them? We can do that in DeFi. Why can't we do games? And so being able to provide a system like that for players, I think, is going to really propel us and just the player economy forward.
Yeah. Do you envision this world where, like, outside of game, well, like I'm thinking like digital real estate and digital land, like outside of a gaming context, do you see business applications for digital real estate? And can you kind of tell our audience a little bit about what is going on in that world?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, it's funny. Right now, there's a lot of players competing for they're building the game, if you will, or I don't know exactly how to describe it, but they want to be like, call it the CryptoPunks of land out there in the metaverse.
I mean, I'm meaning like the OG.
Like I have a house in Decentraland, and it's valuable because of X, Y, or Z. And there's a lot of different games or companies popping up and doing that. I'm a big believer that anything that has value has to have utility behind it. Right. So I think there's a couple, like I'll use OpenSea and just NFTs as an example. I think there's, like any industry, I think there's a lot of value in some projects that just have deep, you know, backing with some celebrities or, you know, culture fit. And I'm specifically talking about like just, you know, NFTs, pictures, right? And pictures, I'm going to get yelled at for that. But, you know, there's some that will always win. Like I said, CryptoPunks, but most projects, almost everything, there has to be some substance behind why it's valuable, right? So if we talk about land in the metaverse, I think that land in the metaverse is going to win. It's, you know, it's going to be valuable. I know people that have sold plots of land for millions of dollars. But my question back to that is like, what's the value of that land, right? Mm-hmm. Can you build on it? Do people want to use it for playing battles? Right? Like, is there utility that's being added to this that makes it valuable? And then when the answer to that question is yes, that's when, you know, the money comes in. So that's kind of how we look at our investment thesis.
How do you, you know, what's the best way for just somebody who's at home listening? And, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, they get into crypto kind of as speculators or investors and all that kind of stuff. And then they realize like, oh shoot, like, you know, I've got these assets, you know, I'm just kind of sitting on them. I'm not doing anything with them, but they are, you know, utilizable, right? Like you say, there's utility. And so this GameFi sort of, you know, world came about in this entire, like, you know, backdrop of like us having these assets and wanting to do something with them. And so what is your best kind of advice for somebody at home who's been a crypto investor for years and years, but has totally slept on NFTs or totally slept on GameFi? Like, where do they get started? What's kind of like, you know, the best foot forward as an expert in this space?
Yeah, for sure. So I think, I forget who gave me this analogy, but don't go to your wife's tennis match to get paid, right? And the analogy is play to earn space is like, what's going to drive the masses to play to earn is not the fact that you're going to make money on it, but is it fun? Why do you watch a UFC fight? Why do you do these things? It's because it's fun. The added bonus on top is that you get paid for it. So if I'm advising somebody new to this space, whether or not it's crypto or it's GameFi, and I truly believe what is bringing crypto to the masses, why you see these institutions starting to adopt it, is because games have pushed it forward. I say, go find a game that's fun. Go find a game that's fun, because that way you're not forced to learn about crypto. It happens naturally because you're having fun playing a game. And so once you start to see the value of why, you know, this sword or this plot of land or this character has, you know, deep intrinsic value, you'll start to really understand why NFTs are the future.
Yeah, no, it really broadens as well the universe of player, or I should say investors, right? Because I think like a lot of people who are listening, they might be, you know, totally just not gamers. They're people that work all day and that got in crypto, you know, for the promise of just like, you know, this being a mode for financial freedom over the course of the long haul, and people are seeing like games, well, that sounds like a lot of work. So is there any sort of like way to capitalize on this trend without having to necessarily play the games?
Yes. So actually we actually get approached a lot by different launch pads or individuals who have bought up a lot of these in-game assets, but don't want to play with them. They're like, hey, look, I don't want to manage anybody. I don't want to play with these, but what do we do? We literally were approached with somebody that has well over several $1 million in assets and said, can you guys use these and just pay us some sort of, you know, APY or some sort of interest?
That's cool.
I said, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. We're building an NFT vault, right? So we have millions of players on our waiting list ready for when our platform launches. We have a lot of people on the other side that aren't using their NFTs. Why not connect the two? Right. So there's definitely a big need for people that just have these stores of value sitting there and are not doing anything with them. So we will be facilitating a lot of that.
It almost is brokerage-esque, like, you know, in the sense that somebody has a house, right? They want to get rid of it. So they go to a guy like you and say, hey, who wants to buy a house? I'll pay you, you know, X amount for this. And then somebody else comes and says, well, hey, I'm really looking for a house that accomplishes X, Y, and Z. Do you have something for me? And you're the man in between. So it sounds like a pretty interesting model for, you know, for games.
That absolutely is. And we're right now in talks with well over 500 games to directly integrate.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, new games are popping up all over the place right now. People see, you know, the rush for play to earn. And this is not to mention the bigger deals that are going on, like Microsoft buying Activision, right? And some of these other massive gaming studios getting bought up because they see the future in this. These are just independent studios building on the blockchain.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but are Activision and those guys, are they building NFT? Like, is that an NFT sort of blockchain acquisition? Or there are components of that these guys, and I know Bungie, I think, got acquired by somebody recently as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So they are. Without knowing too much details, there's a way to bring all the activity that's happening inside of the games onto the blockchain. Right. Wow. And that's what they're planning for. They're buying these acquisitions to somehow integrate the blockchain and crypto into it. I don't know when they're going to roll it out. But absolutely. Microsoft is buying these, you know, Sony is buying. I think Zynga got bought about a month ago.
Yeah.
The M&A that's happening right now in the game space is pretty crazy. Which is why we're raising a massive round. So we're actually, I won't speak too much on it, but we did go through an initial round. We raised a significant amount. We staffed up, we've built, we have a lot of traction. And now we're raising a much larger institutional round, you know, to have a seat at the table. And so we already have great backers, Alameda, Animoca, Polygon, Coin Fund, all the nice names, but yeah, we're definitely going for a home run.
That's fantastic. Best of luck. Sounds like you guys have the team to do it and the supporters. So we're rooting for you for sure. You know, I'm kind of curious about, do you think that there's a future where, you know, all games that are not blockchain based kind of become obsolete? Like just people just are like, yeah, I'm just not going to play that. It's kind of like, you know, VCRs became obsolete because not, you know, because like streaming came, right? I don't know. Like, is there any world where that happens?
You know what? As crazy as it is to say, yeah, I think so. Because there's the question I have, and I know there's this big argument now going on, like people hating NFTs, they don't add anything to the games and this stuff, but I keep asking, like, what's the downside? Mm-hmm. Right? Like the upside is that you come from a very great background, you're in a developed country, you make tons of money, maybe you're a gaming influencer, you don't need to make money playing video games, you're a gaming influencer. There's still no downside to the game being on blockchain and you making some extra money if you want in the game, or you having something that's like yours in a game, right? Yeah. I just don't see the downside of implementing the technology. And so that's kind of my counter argument to everybody that says, oh, it's a fad or this isn't, you know, the future. And it's like, to me, I'm like, look, it's changing countries. You've got people that make $8 a day now making $20 a day. Like, That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Right. It might not be a big deal for us in the Western world. It might not even like move the needle because all we're looking for is a cool game. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see the downside of it being on blockchain. Like to me, the opportunities are endless. So there is a future where that happens where, yeah, we don't, any game that's not on the blockchain doesn't make sense to play. Yeah. I also think that if you're, you know, and again, this might be close-minded, but if you're a gaming developer, right? Like you look at these acquisitions, if you're a gaming developer, you're probably going to start developing your games on the blockchain. Mm-hmm. So eventually I don't see a world where people are like starting from scratch, not developing on the blockchain. So we'll see how it shakes out. But I mean, if you gave a great analogy, like VCRs and the Netflix, it's kind of like, if you put it in that context, it's very possible that happens because there is no downside the way I look at it.
Yeah. No, it's a complete, it could, you know, has the potential to be a complete step function change. And, you know, almost in the same way, like, you know, in the way that, you know, NFTs can allow people to like monetize their assets and stuff, you know, VCR was a static technology, like, you know, one way receivership, whereas Netflix was like, you know, the users passing data back to Netflix, they're mining that, you're getting better recommendations, and it increases the utility of like your viewing experience, you get better recommendations, all that kind of shit. And so it's like a completely different beast than VCR. And so in the same way, NFTs are just, what was it called? There's that shift, a paradigm shift is what I'm looking for. Yeah. And so just completely unlocks a whole new ability for the consumer. So I'm interested. I'm excited. Now tell us a little bit about some of the platforms, just the heavy hitters, the guys that are, you know, maybe they have a coin already, maybe they don't have a coin, but people that you really believe in the gaming world here.
Well, so there's platforms and then there's games, right? Okay. And then there's like layer ones.
Okay, let's break that all down.
Yeah, let's break it all down. So layer ones is a difficult beast because you have Solana that's trying to do its best. You've got some great games like Geno Pets on there. I love those guys. You've got some other coming up like AVAX. And I mean, BSC is tons of games in Asia just being, actually, I think it's BNB chain now. I think they changed it today to BNB chain from BSC today. Yes, that's that article that came out. Ethereum is still, you know, probably the number one chain that people are building on. But in terms of platforms, that's an interesting question. So I will say that Fort, I think it's Forte or Fort, Forte.io, SuperLayer, I believe that they're SuperLayer, fantastic leadership team. They're building developer tools for games to come on and build on top of them. Some people look at us as competitors. I look at us as very synergistic. I mean, just world-class talent on that crew. I think they raised $800 million in February. Actually, I think it was December. Yeah, no. And really strong entrepreneurial backgrounds. The CEO, like, I think he's sold two companies before, but they're going to be a force we reckoned with. I think they're also working with like 12 or 13 like AAA studios already. They did just get, I think it was like the MTL license. So there's only like five or six other companies. I think one of them's like Coinbase, and that got that license that can like transmit money, like be an on-ramp. They're building the tools so that a gaming developer can like easily integrate into blockchain, which is so cool. I think that they're helping bridge that gap on the gaming side. We're kind of bridging the gap on the player side. We're trying to say, okay, all these players that want to get into this landscape, how do we get in? We know that there's a problem onboarding, you know, moving from this wallet to this wallet, transferring all these things that make you go, oh, I'm done, and walk away. There's a problem with like buying in-game assets to play the games. And then there's like an experience issue where you can like, or a learning curve where you have to level up to get better at these games to have some sort of like earning potential. And so we kind of meet in the middle, but I have a lot of respect for that team and those guys. In terms of other platforms, I know there's Fractal, which is, it's the guy who built Twitch.
Oh, Justin Kahn.
Justin Kahn, yes. They're on the Solana side. I think they're more of like a directory for, NFTs, but again, we'll see how that plays out.
That's cool.
So yeah. So there's a couple of platforms, but really no one's doing what we're doing. No one's doing what we're doing. So we'll see how it works.
I like it. So coming from a guy who's in the middle of a raise, you know, you've got all this money coming in, like just a lot of people, I think, who are listening just from a completely, you know, kind of non-crypto specific standpoint, they're just like, oh, wow, that's cool. Like, I've never maybe heard somebody talk who's raised a bunch of money. So let's get us in the mind of like, what do you do after you raise that sort of money? How do you make your team come to life and your vision come to life? What's kind of the first steps that you take?
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing is the team, right? So the most important thing is the team. So immediately after our raise, we really started building a world-class team. So Google, Amazon, Facebook, all of the big players, we kind of started recruiting from them.
You just go poach.
Yeah, just go poach. Some of the best people in the world, right?
Love it.
And also some of the bigger financial institutions. So we have, because we're developing some interesting tech, some tech that's not out there yet, we really needed to have people that understood, you know, understood the more monetary side of things. And so that was kind of the first step. And, you know, also not kind of telling the world everything that we're doing, right? We have a few things in our back pocket that if we play our cards right and we do things properly, we will be a very big name in the space very soon. I will say that we have a significant amount of data, and there's definitely a need in Web3 to make the user experience better for not just players, but anybody that has a wallet. I'll say this: in the next 5 years, almost everybody out there is going to have a wallet, right? That's how you're going to connect to things.
We need wallets that pay gas.
Everything,
right?
Everything. So there's, you know, without going too deep into it, there's a lot of things that we're working on that's going to really set us apart. I think that this raise is going to help us as well. We're aligning ourselves with some pretty powerful partners. And if it goes well, we'll definitely have a seat at the table.
Well, that's fantastic. Last question I have for you, kind of one that we ask many people that come on, just to give them a little insight, but we're just curious about like, who's one of your role models or one of your inspirations in the crypto space that you've looked at, you've loved what they've built, you've respected the way they've done it, or, you know, anything like that.
God, that's a really good question.
Not to blindside you or anything, but we always like to get shout outs, because then we like to bring that person on the show too.
Well, the one guy who I have like the utmost respect for, and I'm going to get killed for not remembering his name, but the guy who just screams Bitcoin from his lungs, and
Andy McDonald.
No, he's very vested in it. I think he's leveraged his publicly traded company to invest over and over and over. What's his name?
Michael Saylor.
Michael Saylor. Yeah. I can't believe I missed his name, but you know, I would say like his conviction, I think his conviction moves the market.
Oh yeah. Moves mountains.
Yeah. Moves mountains. And so like, and he's super smart. I think he's just very, very well-educated guy. So you see him on CNN or any of these talk shows, you're just like, damn, I want to follow that guy into a fire. Totally. I really like him. And he's traditional finance, took a company public that's over on this side, just saying, hey man, this is the future. It makes total sense. You can't fight with a guy like that. You're just like, psh, whatever that guy needs, I got his back. So I really like him. Get him on the show. That would be badass.
That would be fantastic. Michael Saylor, if you watch this show, reach out to us. It's all good. Reach out at crypto101podcast.com. We're going to get you on the show. All right. Well, Will, thank you so much for coming on, for dropping a ton of knowledge on our domes, and for keeping things interesting. We'll have you back on soon after you guys finish the raise and get some more announcements coming out.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.